The psalmist refers to the image of God as my rock and my fortress 18 times. And the word fortress is mentioned 61 times in the Bible. It is a very powerful image of God, a powerful metaphor. And when I started, for me, the word rock literally meant what I brought today to talk with the children about, something that was fairly small. And when I asked the children, you know, can you think of a big rock? You know, they got as big as giraffes, because in their world, giraffes are pretty big. And I hope as we go through this sermon that God is my rock will become something much bigger, something much different for us. God is your rock and your fortress. A fortress in biblical days was the place where kings resided. So to begin with, the image invites us to consider ourselves under the protection of God's kingdom. Fortresses were designed to withstand the horrors of war. They were equipped with storehouses and cisterns for water. There were barracks to sleep in and many different rooms to facilitate the living of a community. God is my rock and my fortress. In biblical days, a fortress was the only place of protection. Hiding behind a rock was considered a place of protection. Those who lived outside of the city walls for farming or for a bigger space were always mindful of needing to keep an eye out for trouble and an ear to the ground and hope that they became aware of problems so that they could get behind the protection of the walls. When there is trouble, God is my rock and my fortress. Say that with me. God is my rock and my fortress. Last week we talked about hedges and walls that we built that allowed for plants and grapes to grow without being stolen or invaded and destroyed by wildlife. But the walls that we are talking about today are for military protection. See, there are no guns, bombs, airplanes, submarines, drones, missiles. But there are arrows, fire, stones, plagues, people that might try and breach the walls by climbing over. Or, if you had a smart enemy, they might develop a ruse to get through the gates. Those were the only ways that you could reach the people. So when the psalmist says, "You are my fortress," he is saying, God is my place where I can go, which makes it really hard for anybody that wants to hurt me or to find me. It is a place of shelter with what I need to sustain myself. Perhaps a more modern, although I don't think even complete, image is God is my bunkhouse. So now that we have established what the fortress might look like, the corresponding image of the rock must also be important. We are not talking about a rock that would be used in a slingshot or put in a garden, but something more like the rock of Gibraltar standing at over 1,300 feet above the sea. The rock of Gibraltar has been an important military point for centuries because everybody knew the person that owned the rock could prevent all others from entering that area. One history account writes, the British had between 5,500 and 7,000 men within its walls and only 9,600 guns during the Great Siege. And the Spanish and French forces numbered 40,000 men and 246 guns. As the British didn't surrender, hostilities finally ceased in February 1783. A great triumph for the British. God is my rock and my fortress. And when I'm under siege, God is my protection. We are talking about a formidable fortress in and of itself, but built on top of a mountain that would also be difficult to scale. God is my rock and my fortress is a powerful image. You see, God is not just my rock or my fortress. God is my rock and my fortress. The two go together. Some of you may have seen Fort York down there underneath the Gardner, which you could pick off now from the top of the Gardner. But we're talking about taking that fort and placing it perhaps up on the Scarborough Bluffs, where you would be inaccessible coming in from the water. Or even more so if you took it up to Lion's Head on Georgian Bay, up 400 or 500 feet, where your enemies would have to crawl through huge forests on one side or scale a sheer cliff after coming off water on the other. God is our rock and our fortress. You have to put the two together and say, the image that the psalmist is giving is impenetrable. We're talking about the high faces of the massive Canadian Shield or the Rocky Mountains, so that this incredible fortress is not only being made more impenetrable by the fact that it is up high. You see trouble coming from a distance, and even more troublesome for Israel forts is that the surrounding conditions do not allow enemies to linger. The Judean desert is inhospitable and would necessitate bringing water and food from long distances and setting up shelter from the sun so that the enemies don't die of exposure before the resources of the fortresses are exhausted. One of the most formidable fortresses built by Herod the Great as both a vacation property and escape in times of trouble is Masada. It soars high above the Judean desert. Taken over by rebels in 80 AD, it was almost impossible to rouse the rebels. Historical accounts say there were 960 rebels in the fort, but that included women and children. The Romans set up base camp of 8,000 soldiers at the bottom. But any time they moved closer, they were easily picked off by the rebel forces. The plan to starve them out seemed in vain because they had such vast cisterns that they were able to support their gardens. In fact, one historian wrote that they had such large amounts of water that they were seen hanging laundry that was soaking wet out to dry while the rebel forces underneath them continued to suffer in the hot sun. They had enough that they could boil large quantities to pour over anyone that tried to scale the rock. Since the cisterns were not connected to a river source to poison or cut off the water supply, any efforts to starve or dehydrate them were not possible. In 73, after many Roman soldiers were killed trying to build a rampart up to the top so that the government could end the embarrassing activities of the rebels, they forced Jewish slaves to build the rampart. Jewish law forbid Jews from killing Jews. And so in the spring of 73, following the construction of the ramp, a battering ram was used to break down the gates. It was estimated that it took over 15,000 men to finally defeat the rock and the fortress. All the inhabitants, save for five, left to tell their stories, had either been murdered or had suicided to prevent being taken hostage and a life of slavery. To this day, the Israel army's cry is, Masada shall never fall again. Masada will never fall again. And I think You know, as I was thinking of rocks and fortresses and this story that would have been part of biblical times, certainly Masada was there in Jesus' time, of how many people, when the psalmist said, God is my rock and my fortress, thought of this particular fortress in their cultural time. And I wonder, can my faith have a similar goal? I will not be taken prisoner by this world again. Mo will not fall again. Now, as it happens, sometimes when I'm writing sermons, things come along to humble me, and you know, I had one of those events this week, and I thought, yeah, it's easy to fall. But still, the goal is there. God is my rock and my fortress. A good fortress says to those who would try and breach the walls, don't try. It is too strong, too formidable to even bother trying. Go home. Go away. Get off my walls because they're too strong and too big. In modern times, when we're trying to create a house that is impenetrable, we might post signs advertising to would-be intruders that there's an alarm system. You might put a sign saying, large dog lives here. Some people have recordings of barking dogs, you know, to play from time to time. We make sure we have lights going on and off, even if we're away. You know, before I was married, if I was going to the door at a time when I wasn't expected, I'd yell back as if I had a husband there, you know, and gave him a intimidating name like Butch, you know. We all have ways of trying to protect our homes. We don't leave the key under the mat or the flower pot. And what we want to do is discourage people from thinking it would be easy to get to us. And that is what the psalmist is saying when he says, God is my rock and my fortress. He's saying, it isn't easy to get to me because I'm close to God and I'm trying to get closer every day. Laura Secord, one of the heroines of the War of 1812, walked 20 miles to warn the British forces of an impending attack by the Americans. Thank God she did that. I'm thinking we would have had Trump for president. But anyway, just that thought occurred to me. But as she reached Beaver Dams and issued that warning, she realized that that fort was ill-equipped to resist the American troops that were coming, the size. And so they devised a plan. Every man, woman, and child, because it had high walls that they couldn't necessarily see over upon approach, carried a bayonet, a knife, anything that looked big, and kept marching around the walls looking as if there was hundreds and hundreds of people within the walls, protecting them. And then when they thought they had them intimidated enough, they sent out their lieutenant with a decree to say, by the way, guys, there's thousands and thousands of Indians and soldiers coming up behind you, so do you want to surrender now? And they're saying, what do you mean you want to surrender? We're just saying, you know, you might want to surrender because it would be easier on you. And in their fear, they surrendered, even though it was a much smaller force. But my God is real. And my God is my rock and my fortress. And there's times when sometimes we put up a good front. But as we grow closer to God, as we learn the signs of when trouble is coming and scramble into that fort and upon that rock that is offered to us, we are able to rest in the presence and in the protection of God. The city of Jerusalem itself was described as a city on a hill. It too had forts. The city of David was the king that is most prominent that lived there, perhaps Solomon. Its height and fortresses providing shelter and respite to the people was both a powerful military symbol, but also an important symbol of faith. Because refuge rocks and fortresses are places we need to climb to. We climb to our refuge and strength. Climbing is never easy. I lead workshops for staff in developing resilience and capacity to deal with trauma and all the things they face. And I always start out with them by saying, there is no tool that I can give you today in 5 or 10 minutes that will save you from all the death, grief, trauma, and difficult families that you will encounter. But I can encourage you in a reflective life and practice that will help you to nurture your strengths and your skills that will increase your ability to cope and to rebound from the things that you will face in your career. And that is the same message I want to give here today. A life of faith is not easy. Climbing the rocks and having God as our fortress and learning how to appreciate that and engage in that is not something that happens in a moment. Any more than the image of running the race before us gives us an easy metaphor for a life with God, as we talked about last week. Running takes training. We fall down, we get up again, we keep going. Climbing is a challenge. We need to keep climbing. Climbing higher into the fortress of God's love is what insulates and protects us against the world. So God is my rock and my fortress. Say that with me again. God is my rock and my fortress, tall, strong, protective, formidable, a home for the child of the King. Let us pray. Gracious God, may each one of us leave here today knowing that you are our rock and our fortress. Amen. Well, let us respond in faith to our offering, through our offerings, by remembering that all things that we build are built with God's blessing and with God's love.